none of us go out. We don't drink or anything. So we're not nightlife people. We just like to stay in, watch movies, hang out, play games. And, you know, day to day, I don't go out to eat really. I just figure if I can set myself up now, then, you know, hopefully in 10, 15 years, me and my buddies can do whatever we want, whenever we want.
Welcome to Behind the Stays, a podcast that shares the stories behind your favorite Airbnbs, boutique hotels, and hospitality brands, and the hosts, operators, and entrepreneurs who have brought them to life. Every Tuesday and Friday, you'll meet the military veterans, the retired flight attendants, tech entrepreneurs, the school teachers, the single moms, and the real estate investors who are all, in their own unique ways, shaping the future of travel and hospitality. Discover how these visionaries from all over the world have built chic cabins in the mountains, designed bohemian bungalows on the beach, erected eclectic off-grid and nature-immersed escapes, and so much more. Behind the Stays is brought to you by Spontaneous, the internet's best destination for last-minute Airbnb deals. You can subscribe for free at spontaneous.com. And I'm your host, Zach Buzicruz, co-founder and CEO of Spontaneous. All right, friends, enjoy the show. So a buddy and I were chatting about the future of hospitality the other day, and one of the resounding themes that we just like kept coming back to was the idea that highly curated and original experiences are the new luxury when it comes to travel, right? Like everyone wants something bespoke, everyone wants something unique. Now, not everyone can design like an Instagram-worthy Airbnb or build like a truly unique stay on like the perfect parcel of land, but every hospitality entrepreneur can deliver a unique, one-of-a-kind experience for guests. And the truth of the matter is that you can't provide these sorts of experiences at scale without digital guidebooks, which is why I'm super excited to tell you a little bit about my new friends at Hostfully. Hostfully digital guidebooks are the easiest way to help your guests get to know your property and discover just how special the community that surrounds it is. Hostfully guidebooks give you a dynamic place to store every bit of information you might want your guests to have, from the Wi-Fi password to how to work the hot tub to where to take the best selfies at golden hour. That's one of my favorites, actually, so be sure you do that if you don't already. Hostfully empowers you with easy-to-use tools that help you feature a totally curated list of your favorite eateries, pubs, hiking trails, and more. Or Hostfully can automatically create a list of experiences through their guidebook wizard if you've got dozens of properties and just can't afford to curate a custom set of recommendations for each one. But here's where things get even more exciting. You guys listening? You sure? Listening. All right, cool. Listen up. You can create a marketplace within Hostfully guidebooks that enables you to sell things like early check-in, late checkout, airport transfers, a custom romance package, kayak rentals, etc. Your guests can purchase these add-ons directly through your guidebook before or during their stay, which enables you to make a little extra cash money. All right. I know what you're thinking, right? You're like, Zach, this all must cost an arm and a leg, right? But that's where you'd be wrong, friends. If you're just starting out on your hospitality entrepreneurial journey and have just one property, your first guidebook is totally free. If you have multiple properties, it's also super affordable. For example, it costs just $25 a month for up to 5 properties. But if you use the discount code BTS at checkout, you can get 2 free months for any Hostfully guidebook subscription. Again, that's BTS as in Behind the Stays. So if one of your goals this year is to try to up your guest experience game, there's really no reason to not give Hostfully a try. Head on over to hostfully.com/BTS, that's BTS as in Behind the Stays, to learn more about Hostfully guidebooks. Again, that's hostfully.com/BTS, and be sure to use the discount code BTS at checkout. And if you talk to the team there, tell them that Zach from Behind the Stays sent you their way. In just a moment, you'll meet Antonio Baffia, a 23-year-old entrepreneur who dropped out of college to pursue his dream of building hospitality businesses. Growing up, Antonio was a competitive hockey player. He dreamed of one day playing in the NHL. And while that dream never came to fruition, the discipline he learned while playing hockey equipped him wonderfully for the exciting and also taxing journey of being an entrepreneur. In this episode, Antonio and I discuss how he built a portfolio of short-term rentals across the country in partnership with his dad, why he's so bullish on finding and then sticking to his niche, why he believes that service is the next frontier of true competitiveness and disruption in the space, his dreams over the next few years, what keeps him motivated as a young entrepreneur, and so much more. All right, friends, without further ado, get ready to meet Antonio. All righty, Antonio, we are live. Good sir, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am excited to be chatting with you. We connected on Instagram very recently, and since then I've been able to learn a little bit about what you're doing, and you're a young entrepreneur building a fantastic business. And so I am just excited to hear a little bit more of your story and better understand what you're trying to do in the world and why you're trying to do it. One of my favorite questions, Antonio, to ask folks that come on the show is, if I were to have met you as like a 10-year-old and I were to say, hey man, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, what would you have said? What do you imagine you would have said if you can remember back to what it was like being a 10-year-old?
Oh, well, fortunately for me, it wasn't too long ago. I'm 23, so 13 years, about half my life ago, roughly. So I can tell you exactly, and I'd 100% without a doubt say professional hockey player. Obviously, okay. I'm not a professional hockey player. It didn't work out. 10-year-old me would have been disappointed, but I love sports growing up. Mainly hockey is what I played. So without a doubt, that's what I would have wanted to be when I was 10.
Did you play hockey like your entire life pretty much? Did you play in school at all, or was it more of like a hobby sport?
I played probably when I started skating when I was 3 or 4. My dad always played hockey. He ran a hockey league, adult hockey league. He owned a hockey store when I was younger. So I played competitive travel hockey all when I was younger. And now... Wow. Now that I'm older, I don't play as often, but I try to play a couple of times a year, try to skate, and I'll play a pond hockey tournament out in Colorado, mix it in with some snowboarding, and do that every once in a while now.
One of my like best friends he played hockey in college, and he's, you know, played his entire life, and I've always just been so amazed. Like, I'm from Hawaii, right? And so no one played hockey in Hawaii, right? And it's just, it is like such an intense like sport, and you're doing something that like no one else has to do, which is like skate first and foremost, let alone play an incredibly, you know, intense and abrasive and sometimes violent game. And so I don't know. I think it's like one of the most like badass sports that like not enough people like talk about, or you know, I guess now I live in the Northeast now, and it's a little bit more popular here. But it, you know, growing up, no one cared about hockey. But I've come to meet some cool people that play hockey, and I just have like mad respect for you guys. So so power to you, man.
Yeah, no, it's a great sport. I tell people, if you can get out to a hockey game, I've never met one who's gone to a hockey game and left and been disappointed. You know, it's an amazing sport to watch and play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, enough about hockey. So you are doing some cool things in the short-term rental space. And one of the reasons I wanted to chat with you, Antonio, is you sent me this DM. And one of the things that you said in the DM was like, hey, one of the things that I've learned and I believe about business so far is that you should really like niche down. And like once you find your niche, like you should stick to it. So I'm curious, like, how did you get into the short-term rental space? And what would you consider like your niche to be?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny how we got into it. We just had my parents had a second home in the mountains. They had bought it with the intention of us to use it, but we are all very busy people at the time and still are now. And quickly we realized we never got to use it. So my dad was like, well, it's just in there. I might as well try to rent it out, see if I can make a little money on it. Like I mentioned, he owned the hockey store. So he's always been kind of entrepreneurial and everything. So figured, you know what? I'll use this as a source of income. And it just started like that. We did it for a year, had some success. I was in school at the time. I wanted to drop out because I didn't want to be in school at the time. And basically it worked out to where I decided to go and move and do that full time and build a portfolio with my dad and do that for work instead of having to continue going to school because I was paying a lot of money to sit in my dorm room and watch TV and play games with my buddies all day. So, and that also kind of helped us, as you mentioned, build a niche from the standpoint of our niche, I would say, is very stays for small groups of people, typically very small families. For, you know, a family with 2 kids, 3 kids, but also couples. We try to cater to people who are trying to find destinations for honeymoons, anniversaries, special events. Our largest property holds 6 people, which, you know, especially in the Airbnb, a lot of people talk about, you know, heads in beds, try to get as many people, larger stays, which we have nothing against, but we've just found of what we like to host and how it's helped us is when you're hosting the same type of group in every single property you have, whether you're in the mountains of California, the mountains of North Carolina, the beach, you know, somewhere in Illinois, the group of people is the same. So you can take things that you've learned from other properties and implement them of what kind of amenities that those groups like, you know, other things like that, that apply. Although geographically the location might be different, since your customer base is the same type of individual or group, you can apply a lot of things to the houses, which just makes things smoother and allows us to streamline and scale faster.
And I bet that that also, you know, just helps with figuring out from a furnishing standpoint, or from if you guys do any sort of like, you know, gifting or just even like stocking of like some basic spices and other sort of like amenities for guests. It helps you just get a sense of like, oh, okay, this is how much we're actually going to use in a month, right? Because you don't have a place where it's like, hey, 16 people are going to come here next week and oh crap, like, you know, we normally leave like olive oil, that'll be gone in like a day, right? Like you, it probably just helps you get a much better sense of like what needs to be in the place, how often you need to continue to, you know, replenish things like salt and pepper or whatever it is you might leave, towels, like all these things. That's a really, that's a really kind of smart approach, especially as you're really trying to like figure out, okay, how do we want to differentiate as a business. Now, you mentioned you guys have places, and I was looking at your portfolio. You've got places in, you know, the beach, you've got places in the mountains. One of the things that a lot of people in, especially sort of like the Instagram, like Airbnb circles talk about is this idea of like, why does like no one want to go to the beach anymore? And like, everyone seems to want these like, you know, sexy, like winter cabin stays. And I'm just curious, like from your perspective as somebody who has like both, you know, stays in both kinds of like locations, what have you guys noticed, if anything, about like how they perform? Like, do your beach stays just definitively perform better than your mountain stays? Is there not much of a difference? Like, what can you tell us about that?
I would say, well, our best property is definitely a mountain property out in Western North Carolina, but our beach properties do well. I will say in the past couple of years, the slow months have been slower, but the peak months are still the peak months. They do amazing for us, especially in North Carolina. Just everyone loves to go to the beach. Of course, you know, there are people who are transitioning more to, they're going to have their big vacation in the mountains, but there's so many families of just people I know, friends, relatives who they do the week-long beach trip every summer. And so we do very well in the summer. And obviously that's what you're trying to do with the beach. You just have to transition and pivot in the winter. We'll do midterm rentals, get people in there, snowbirds, I believe they call them, coming up from up north, because the beach in North Carolina doesn't really get that cold. It's not Miami, so it's not going to be 90 degrees in January, but you're still not going to be like negative 10 if you're living in Boston. So people like to get away. I know my dad's aunt and uncle always do that every year down in South Carolina. But yeah, I think as long as you have a property that, you know, can differentiate itself and is kind of cool, there are people who are willing to stay year round. We do like the mountain places since they're less seasonal. One of our busiest months is October because of the leaves changing. So you get unbelievable rates that are basically middle of the week on a random week in October, where you can also, is the same that you're charging for like Christmas or something, because people love to see that change. You're right on the Appalachian Trail, so people like the hike segments of that. So the mountain properties have been very good. So I would agree that there's been a big influx of people, you know, moving out that way with their vacations.
It is really interesting, and I am surprised I haven't spent much time thinking about this, but like your insights there just made me think about the fact that, especially as just like things get warmer in general, right, being able to take a stay in the mountains kind of like at any point in time in the year, right? Unless you're like really remote and there's like this massive snowfall and it's like impossible to get to or whatever. But outside of that, right, in many respects, like mountain homes just have more versatility throughout seasonal change. Because to your point, if you want to go there in the winter, you could go there to ski. That might be a very different like travel persona than somebody that wants to just like see the fall, like, you know, foliage, right? For example. And that could be very different than like the family that just wants to like get away with their kids for a week in the mountains and go hiking, right? So you've got like this incredible diversity of potential travelers that would want to go to that space. Whereas like a beach house, for instance, right, is typically going to attract people that want to go to the beach. And most of the time, people want to go to the beach when it's really hot out and they can go and they can swim, right? Like it's not everybody wants to go to the beach in January or February, unless you are in Miami, right? And so I think that there is some sort of like really interesting, maybe just, you know, consumer behavior shifts in trends around like mountain homes in particular. So it'll just be curious to see how this continues to evolve. I still think a lot of people love going to the beach, and so I'm not worried about those markets per se, but it is interesting from a short-term rental perspective, as you were saying, being able to get the same nightly rate in the middle of the week in October that you might charge at Christmas is remarkable. And is something that might be, you know, relatively unique to that kind of stay type. I wanted to ask you a question around like leaving school. Like what do your friends think? Like you're clearly this cool young entrepreneur. Like what did people say when you decided to leave to go, like, you know, risk it all and build this business? Like what feedback did you get?
I was very fortunate, all positive from friends, family, obviously family members I know are very entrepreneurial and business minded. A lot of my friends I was in school for finance and banking. So a lot of the people I knew had aspirations at one point in their life, just not at this point, to, you know, maybe start their own business and invest, do things like that. So it was all good, you know. Selfishly, I think my friends like it as well, because now we have houses in the mountains and the beach that we take trips that I can go with them, go with the girlfriend, and, you know, spend time, you know, to do work and check up on the properties. But no, I've been very fortunate in my life to have a lot of very supportive people between my friends and family who every step of the way, you know, no judgment, and, you know, they give me their advice. It's good to have people to just bounce ideas on as well. You know, all my friends, they love to travel as well. Their families love to travel, that if we're starting up a new property, shoot them a question, say, hey, what do you think we should put in here? If you were coming here, or they'll come out and set it up with me and say, hey, pretend like, we'll say, walk in, pretend like you were a guest. What would you want? What would you be looking for? Would this be off-putting? You know, how's this layout look? And you know, it's just basically good to have basically research and a reason to hang out with your buddies. So
I was at an industry networking event recently with some incredible hospitality entrepreneurs, and there was one topic of conversation that everyone was chatting about. Can you guess what it was? Keep in mind, this was an event with some of the most incredible folks building unique stays, micro resorts, and other unforgettable Airbnbs. So these folks knew what they were doing. These weren't like industry newbies. Any guesses? Can you guess what the hottest topic of conversation was? Well, if you guessed cleaning, you'd be right. You see, it doesn't matter if your average nightly rate is $100 or $1,000, if it's your guest room or the world's most unique treehouse, if the stay isn't clean, your guests aren't going to be happy. And finding the right cleaning team, especially these days, is really tough. But my new friends at Turno help make it easier. Turno is the smartest way to schedule, pay, and find vacation rental cleaners. Think of Turno as an Uber or TaskRabbit for STR hosts. Simply create an account, describe your listing's cleaning needs, and Turno will match you with cleaners near you. And get this, each cleaner's profile is complete with ratings and reviews from other STR hosts, so you know what you're getting into and who you're going to be working with ahead of time, rather than crossing your fingers and praying that your new cleaner meets your expectations. And you can store all of the cleaning preferences that you have in your account that is associated with each of your listings. This ensures a quality cleaning every time. Turno's auto-scheduling feature syncs to your rental calendar and automatically generates cleaning projects associated with guest check-in and check-out dates to be shared with cleaners. After the cleaning, Turno can auto-process payments for you, How cool is that? So no more like Venmoing people over, you know, your iPhone. And it gets even better, friends. Turner offers a simple, affordable pricing for STR hosts of any size. Single property accounts and marketplace users get access to all the platform's tools and features for free. And they make working with your existing teams easy too, with plans as low as just $6 per property per month. There's so much to Turno, so I want you to take just 5 minutes to explore their offering further at turno.com/behind the stays. And the team there is offering Behind the Stays listeners a $150 Amazon gift card after you complete your first turnover before March 31st of 2024. So don't sleep on this, folks. Go to turno.com/behind the stays to learn more. I'm curious, like, especially as a young person, right? You know, I imagine like there are a lot of your friends who, once you start making a little bit of money, like the temptation is obviously just to like, you know, go spend it and, you know, buy that nicer car, right? I was joking earlier about like you wearing a Tesla hat and it's actually not a Tesla hat for our listeners, but like I thought it was, right? I know people in the space who were young entrepreneurs who like made a little bit of money. They went and they bought Teslas, right? Like, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, but my point being, how do you like, is it difficult for you to be like, no, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to invest it in this next property, or I'm going to invest in upgrading aspects of our portfolio? And you guys self-manage, like you self-manage everything, right? Yourself. And that's a lot of work, but like, is it easy for you to just like take your earnings and reinvest them? Or is it difficult for you? Like, do you want to go buy the Tesla? Like how hard is it for you to decide what to do with the money?
I wouldn't say hard at all, if I'm being honest. I'm a very, very simple guy. I live in a studio apartment by myself that is very inexpensive. It was the cheapest place I could find. I live in Chicago. Cheapest place I could find in a good neighborhood. I drive a Toyota Corolla because when I was buying it, I said I want something that's going to be cheap and never break down on me. I will say on occasion I do have a expensive purchase. I've got myself a nicer watch. When my buddies visited, we all got watches together. And I think it's very easy for me to not spend crazily because I live a very simple life a majority of the time, so that every once in a while, if I do want to buy something that I think is a little nicer, I don't feel bad about it. And I only do it every once in a while. But also, my friends are not flashy individuals. They're not going out and buying stuff. So, you know, the people around me, I've never had that, you know, the desire, the whole keeping up with the Joneses mentality, because nobody around me cares about that. You know, none of us go out. We don't drink or anything. So we're not nightlife people. We just like to stay in, watch movies, hang out, play games. And, you know, day to day, I don't go out to eat really. I just figure if I can set myself up now, then, you know, hopefully in 10, 15 years, me and my buddies can do whatever we want, whenever we want.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so like, what is all this for, right? Like, I mean, this is, you're saying this like pretty, you know, nonchalantly, but like, that's like pretty radical. Like, there are a lot of young people that like aren't living that way, right? what's the goal? Like, if you think about 10 to 15 years, like, what, you want to be able to not ever have to really like have a job? You want to go buy a house in Miami? Like, why are you doing this?
I'd say ultimately my goal is to just to have complete, it's not that I don't want to work. I do enjoy working. I think it's more so just deciding what I want to do for work. So I really enjoy teaching people. I know I get a little bit of a imposter syndrome because, like I said, I'm 23, but I like to host. I actually own a co-working space, so I'm for the members and some Chamber of Commerce people as well. I'm hosting a short-term rental seminar for people. No cost or anything. I don't make any money off this, just to build connections. I love doing stuff like that. But also, too, as my parents get older, they're not old by any means. My dad just turned 52, but my mom's 51. But, you know, in the next 10, 15 years, if I could have unlimited freedom to, you know, do stuff with them, because fortunately they're not going to be around forever, and, you know, spend time with them, ultimately have a family of my own. I know that's a while down the line, but, you know, be able to have the flexibility to, you know, like I said, growing up, all I did was play sports. My parents were at every game, every practice. I want to be able to do that. So I just like the idea of that flexibility to not, like I said, I don't want to just sit on the beach and drink pina coladas all day or anything. But yeah. if I want to, I want to have that ability.
you're awesome, man. You're like a really interesting guy. Because again, most young people don't decide to do these things. I want to ask another question just about like as you like started this journey. What resources did you tap into? Because, you know, there are people listening to this show who are, you know, significantly older than you, and they've built, you know, large portfolios, and, you know, they are, you know, a lot further along in their entrepreneurial journey. And then there are other people that like are listening to the show and hoping for like the inspiration or like the moment to strike for when they can like leave their current circumstance, their job or whatever it is, and go pursue that dream of theirs, go be more entrepreneurial. When you were doing this, like as you started, as you left school, like did you go and read a bunch of stuff? Did you go listen to a bunch of stuff? Did you go watch a bunch of stuff? Like, where did you learn how to do short-term rentals?
Yeah, a lot of it was just self-taught of watching YouTube. I also, after I dropped out of school, I moved up to Maine for about 8 weeks to help a family friend of ours who we knew through hockey, actually, back when I lived in Iowa. He had a short-term rental out there. He was a realtor. He was opening a pizza and ice cream shop in a small town of Gorham, Maine, and he needed someone. I just connected with him on LinkedIn, and he said so I told him I was dropping out. He said, hey, do you mind helping me out? And so I learned a lot from him. And then just, you're probably familiar with Bigger Pockets, you know, going to as many, you know, meetup groups there, obviously the platform Meetup, as you can find different groups of people to where, I mean, my dad and I would be going to at least one a week. It would feel like getting wow. calls with people, just asking anyone for help. And you quickly realize that although the space is competitive and has gotten a lot more competitive, 99% of people are very helpful. They want to help you. Everyone wants to see everyone else succeed. We're the same way. That's why we put on these little seminar meeting things. Like I said, we're not making money off it, but maybe we make a connection. We do a deal with someone. And I think that's the thing, is just talk to as many people as you can. Try to get as much information as you can. If someone gets mad at you for asking a question, it's probably not someone you want to interact with and deal with anyways. So you just move on. So don't be scared. You know, everyone started as a beginner, whatever, 6, 7, 5 years ago. I didn't know the first thing about short-term rentals other than Airbnb existed. And yeah. I'm here now. And like I said, so, you know, it doesn't take too long to get started if you're willing to put in the time and, you know, ask the right questions and, you know, interact with the right people.
Do you think that there is more opportunity for young entrepreneurs in the space like yourself, whether they want to go build a portfolio that you've built? Again, and you guys have properties all over the country, which, you know, is one approach. There's loads of other approaches, right? You could go and you could just pick up some properties and or just even just like management contracts, right, in your local area, wherever you live. You could literally be the person running around doing turnovers, right? There's so many different ways to sort of like build a business in this space. Like what opportunities like do you see that you know either aren't being met or maybe they are being met, but you just still feel like is like a massive opportunity for anyone that might be listening to this, that maybe they're also in school, maybe they're not satisfied, maybe they feel like, shoot, like I'm just freaking playing too many video games in my dorm room right now, maybe it's time for me to, you know, go take a break and go do something else. Like, what opportunity do you see?
I would say for someone like me someone similar in age or maybe even a little younger, kind of what you said of like a management contract, partnering with individuals who, you know, we found there are a lot of people who want to invest, but they don't know where to start. They don't have the time. Maybe we've met a lot of individuals who are, you know, in their 40s, 50s, even 60s. You know, they're older now, so they've been working a W-2 job for a while. They've maybe moved up the corporate ladder. They're making very good money. They've saved up a lot. They know they want to invest. They know that retirement's getting close. And they know, you know, they've been told and hear, oh, make sure you have investments for retirement so that you're good. But they don't know where to start. And maybe at this point in their life, the idea of learning about short-term rentals or any sort of investment is just a very daunting thing for them, and with their regular job, they might not have the time. So that's kind of how the partnership with my dad and I happened, because he was in a similar situation. He wanted to grow up, but you know, he's got a regular full-time W-2 job as a managing an insurance division for the entire East Coast. So he's very busy. Fortunately, he had a son who, you know, it just worked out symbiotically for both of us. But, you know, he was ultimately looking for someone else and had gone through a couple other people. And I just so happened to be stopping school. And I told him, hey, if you're open to it, I'd do it. And he was like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's try it. If we want to kill each other at the end of it, we just cut it off and then move on with our lives, right? You know, I still love you. But I think that could work for anyone. You'd be surprised, you know, even just reaching out to people who have maybe current Airbnbs. There's a lot of people who started them just because maybe they, you know, had a second home, they inherited their family cabin or beach house once their parents passed, and they've been managing themselves. But a lot of times we see people getting rid of them because just the headache and stuff. But if you can go in and say, hey, let's work out some sort of a profit split or something, like, because you probably own this house free and clear, it doesn't make sense financially for you to get rid of it, because what are you going to do? Invest money in something else and have another headache? Let me take over the headache for you, take on the responsibility. And because, you know, you might have all the time in the world, but as a whatever 20-year-old kid who's dropping out, you might not have a dollar to your name. So it's going to be a little harder to start a portfolio by yourself.
Yeah, that, I think that was great advice. And, you know, one of the things that I've just seen, and this is not like a fresh insight, this is all over the news, right? But there are an incredible number of boomers that have, you know, businesses, and they're trying to retire. They're trying to do something else, and their children don't want to take over their, like, you know, blue collar business, whether it's like a plumbing business, right? Whether it's an electrical business, whatever it might be. A lot of these people, like, are also sitting on, like, a lot of cash. And I was literally having a conversation with somebody, a buddy of mine, who was talking to three different individuals in his life who are of that age. And he was like, you have no idea how much cash these people have, and yet, like, how conservative they are. And they don't know what to do. Like, they don't invest in the stock market, right? Like, but they have, like, pools and pools and pools of cash. And what they need is they need somebody that they trust to be able to say, hey, look, like, you could go and buy, like, these three homes right now. It would not even, like, put a massive dent in what you've accumulated. I'll do the work of managing it, and I'll just cut you a check, right, like, every month. And that check will, you know, you don't even have a mortgage anymore, but, like, that check you'll be able to live off of, right? And a lot of the time it just comes down to this fear of, like, a lot of these folks. Like, I think about my grandma, for instance, right? She sold a house in Hawaii, and, you know, houses in Hawaii aren't cheap, and she was able to buy three homes on, you know, in Virginia for the price. And yet, like, she was so scared to do that because she didn't have anybody that she trusted to, like, manage it. She found, like, anyways, long story short, a family member took over and is managing that. And she's, like, happier than she could ever be. Like, she thinks she's rich all the time because she just gets this check, and, like, she does no work. Right. And it's like the best retirement she could have expected. But so I think what you're saying is spot on. Like, if you're a young person and you're an entrepreneur and you want to go build something, go find, you know, people that you trust that are older that might have some cash, and make them a pitch, like, make them a business plan. And you might be surprised by what they say. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Antonio, too, is, you know, there's a lot of questions from folks who listen to this podcast and are just other folks who are in the industry about, like, the next kind of generation of travelers, right? So you and your buddies, like, when you guys travel, like, do you exclusively book on Airbnb? Like, do you know what direct booking is? Like, do your friends, like, take the time to go and find, like, a short-term rentals, like, direct booking website to book the stay? Do you guys even use the term vacation rentals? Like talk to me, like, honestly, about, if you're just talking to your buddies, right, about traveling, like, how do they think about traveling in, like, the short-term rental ecosystem?
Well, if I'm being honest, I'm the one who's always coordinating all that, just because I'm obviously in it, so they kind of leave that up to me, and I'm pretty good with logistics and planning at this point in my life compared to them, so they kind of just give me full control. But yeah, if they were to do something on their own, they're definitely probably not trying to find some, you know, direct booking website, if I'm just being honest. But I think there's potential there, obviously. I think the big platforms like Airbnb obviously are great and, you know, an amazing way to get your property out to the masses. But yeah, I think those are ultimately still going to be the top dogs. The biggest thing is going forward is going to be differentiating yourself. And I think what a lot of people are looking for in the future is kind of a mix between, you know, the issue that Airbnb and a lot of hosts are running into now is since there's such a large boom of people who've started hosting who, admittedly, and this is not me trying to knock anyone, but are probably in a sense unqualified to be hosting. You get a lot of unhappy guests because, you know, they're used to staying in hotels with a certain level of service, amenities and stuff. And then you just get the random person who, like I said, is kind of half into it, half out of it. They're not setting up the house correctly. They're not answering questions in a timely manner. So I think a lot of people are turned off by Airbnbs because of the lack of service at times, which ultimately hurts all guests. Because if your first Airbnb experience is a bad one, you might never book on Airbnb again. So I think a lot of people are looking for Airbnb stays with a hotel level of service. Obviously, I'm not saying you have a desk person sitting at your front door or anything that's checking the person in.
Last minute cancellations suck, and that's why we built Ping. Ping makes it easy for guests to be notified when their favorite Airbnbs become available. Ping is a simple widget that lives on your website or your direct booking site and allows your fans and followers to sign up and be notified if their preferred dates become available. Here's how it works. Jimmy sees that you're booked the whole month of October, but he wants to be notified if any three-night window in the month becomes available. Jen is a returning guest, and she wants to be notified if any week in June, July, or August becomes available. In a matter of seconds, Jimmy and Jen fill out the simple form, and they will be pinged if the requested dates become available. And as a host, you will immediately get pinged via email with Jimmy and Jen's contact information and requested dates, which enables you to build up your own database of guest email addresses. Ping is what the best Airbnb hosts use to maximize bookings. You can get access to our beta pricing with plans that start at just $39 a year at bnbping.com. Again, that's bnbping.com. When you think about, and you and your buddies think about, like, traveling too, I'm just curious too, like, under talking to somebody who's younger than me, I'm 29, right? So I'm 6 years older than you. And my travel behavior is maybe a little bit different. I'm married and I have a kid now, and so I have to be a little bit more planned. But, like, how, like, spontaneous are you guys with travel? Like, is it always, like, very planned, or you guys last minute at all? Like, tell me a little bit about, like, how you guys approach your travel adventures.
A little bit of both, but I would say more so spontaneous than planned. You know, we all have pretty flexible jobs, so it's kind of just one of those situations where we'll be together and we'll be like, man, we haven't gone somewhere in a while, and then just pick up the computer, start looking, see something that seems interesting, and then we go from there. You know, I would say we try to, but also because of the nature of our jobs, a lot of times flexibility comes with, you know, having things change on you last minute, to where sometimes, you know, planning something really far out in advance is almost a bad idea because you never know what's going to come up and you got to be somewhere at a specific time. Like me, for example, that I try not to plan things too far in advance because I have a lot of last minute changes. Most of our stuff is pretty spontaneous just because it makes the most sense for us. And I think a lot of people my age are like that too. You know, you have a long week at work or something, or you just have that epiphany that, you know, I haven't gotten out and done something super enjoyable in a while. And so you just pull up the computer and it's become very easy to, you know, book trips and make plans on a last minute basis now. So I think a lot of more people are transitioning that way.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more, man. I love it. And I love talking to people like you who just have a different perspective. My very last question for you, Antonio, is, you know, what advice do you have for another young entrepreneur who's listening to this podcast, and or just like a word of encouragement or an opportunity that you see in this space that maybe you're not focused on right now, but you think like somebody could focus on? Anything come to mind there?
As far as an opportunity or like a part of the market that is untapped?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Anything, like a business opportunity or even just like a word of encouragement for somebody. Any just final words for folks who are listening to this story and inspired and trying to figure out what they should do and when they should do it?
Well, I would say the biggest piece of advice I have for anyone who's going into any sort of business, whether it's real estate and short-term rental related, would be just focus on providing an unbelievably high level of service. You will quickly realize, and I know this because of, you know, dealing with utility companies and all different companies I work with to, you know, run our properties, that there's nothing more aggravating and off-putting than poor service. And when you deal, and I've been fortunate to deal with some individuals with high net worths, you realize that people are willing to pay absurd amount of money for convenience and quality support and help. That's why American Express is able to give all these rewards and benefits and stuff. And people are willing to pay the fees and the higher percentage and everything because they just want a seamless experience. They want things to be easy.
Yeah.
I think if you can provide a very high level of support to your consumer, no matter what business it is, you will find that not only is that consumer going to, you know, pay more money, but the quality of consumer is going to be better because when people are treated well, you know, they want to treat you well.
My last question for you, Antonio, is like, where can folks find you? And like, if folks are interested in like investing in you and investing in what you're building, like, are you open to that? Like, what's the best way for people to get in touch?
Yeah, I have an Instagram. People can reach me there. It's just my name, Antonio Bafia. It's AntonioBafia. And then we have our website. It's thebentgroup.com. There you can reach out to us. You know, we do different partnerships we have in the past with, you know, helping people get properties set up, helping people find properties. And also we do partnerships with people who want to just be a investor. If we have a few private money people who we found from there who just finance deals for us, but then also a direct partnership where we own properties with other people to where, you know, we are in there 50-50 or, you know, we try to make everything work with anyone. We're open to just about any deal to help us grow. We want to make sure that all parties are happy and, you know, get accomplish what they want to accomplish. So, you know, we're always looking for people to work with in any sort of capacity.
Well, fantastic. I will have links to Antonio's Instagram and their website in the show notes below. Dude, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure. And I'm just, you know, I'm walking away inspired. You're 23 years old. You're hustling hard. You have a very like mature head on your shoulders. So I think that the future is going to look really, really bright for you. So thanks so much, man, for spending a little bit of time with me today and for sharing your story with us.
Awesome. And I appreciate you taking the time talking to me and love listening to the show. So keep up the good work.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Behind the Stays. I'd love to know what you thought of the episode. Feel free to shoot me an email directly at Zach, that's Z-A-C-H, at spontaneous.com, or find me on X, formerly Twitter, at ZBoozy, that's Z-B-O-O-Z-E-E, or on LinkedIn at Zach Boozy Cruz. If this is your first time tuning in, it's a pleasure to have you, and we hope to have you back again soon. If you've been a listener for a while, though, I'd greatly appreciate if you could subscribe and then leave us a rating and review of the show wherever you are currently streaming this podcast. Last but certainly not least, Spontaneous and Behind the Stays are totally bootstrapped, and my ability to bring you these stories is only possible because of our incredible advertising partners. We're very much a startup show, and while our growth rate is amazing, thanks to all you who keep tuning in and sharing our show with your friends and family, we haven't quote-unquote made it yet. So if you could do me a huge favor and go and check out the sponsor for today's episode in the show notes below, I would greatly appreciate it. Even if their offering doesn't make sense for you right now, sending them a quick message on social or an email, just saying that you're listening to the show and you appreciate their support would be incredibly amazing. All right, friends, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you on the next episode of Behind the Stays.